Commence our praise service tonight with the singing of number 5. You'll find it on page 176. Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Number 5, we'll stand as we worship the Lord, please. Singing. Let's just unite our hearts together, please, in a word of prayer, seeking the Lord's blessing on our gathering tonight. Our gracious, eternal, loving Heavenly Father, we do continue in thy presence in the Savior's precious and all worthy name, thanking thee we have an audience with the King of Kings tonight and the Lord of Lords. We praise thee we come by the new and living way. And oh, Father, we rejoice, Lord, that we've been singing already of thy praises, and of Jesus the mighty to save. We thank the Lord for the one at thy right hand, who ever lives in the power of an endless life. And we rejoice tonight we're still in the day of thy grace. Thou art still saving souls and calling them unto thyself. And oh, Father, we come, Lord, this evening to render our worship and our thanksgiving unto thee, our only true and living God. And, oh, Father, we praise thee, Lord, for even the 50th anniversary of this congregation. Thank the Lord for its inception back there in 1967. And oh God, thou hast been pleased to open the doors that no man can shut. And oh Father, we praise thee, Lord, for thy goodness toward the congregation down through those 50 years. We do thank thee, Lord, especially as well for the clearing of our debt concerning our refurbished church. And oh God, we bless thee, Lord, for the building that thou hast given to us, even to meet in and to sound forth the unsearchable riches of Christ, and Lord, to proclaim the whole counsel of God. And oh Father, we pray that thou would accept of our thanks this night. And we ask, Lord, thou would bless each one that has come along. We thank thee for each one gathered out this Monday evening. We thank thee, Lord, especially for those who will take part. And Lord, for the gifts of song that thou hast given to them, and the abilities, Lord, that they have, even to use them as unto thee. And oh God, we pray that thou would undertake for each one tonight. They might know the help of God. And oh Father, we pray the messages in song and the instrumental pieces will be a means of blessing even to our hearts. We pray, Lord, that it will be a blessing to thy children. And Lord, it would come as a challenge even to those that are still not saved. We do thank thee, Lord, for thy servant in our midst, the moderator. We thank thee for the Reverend Murray. We ask, Lord, that thou would encourage him tonight as he would bring thy word. And oh Father, we pray that, Lord, our testimony leaving might be, the Lord was there, and the Lord spoke to my heart. Father, undertake for us. Close us in for this little time with thyself. Shut out the distractions of the devil. And oh God, we pray that, Lord, thy word would run and be glorified, and that Christ would have all the preeminence. For we ask and pray these things in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. We do welcome each one who has come along tonight to sing. We're going to commence with our own men's choir. They're going to come and sing a piece for us, please, just to start our short program tonight.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer.
Oh, what peace we often forfeit.
Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never soul is there.
thank the men tonight for singing for us, for Jean playing the piano. We look forward to them singing for us around the Christmas period. We appreciate the brethren coming tonight. We appreciate Rebecca Little coming as well, our sisters from Market Hill. And we're going to ask Rebecca if she'll come and bring her two pieces, please.
Tell me the old, old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story simply as to a little child, for I am weak and weary and helpless and defiled. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story slowly, that I may take it in, that wonderful redemption, God's remedy for sin. Tell me the story often, for I forget so soon the early dew of morning is passed away at noon. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Tell me the same old story, when you have cause to fear that this world's empty glory is costing me too dear. Yes, and when that world's glory is dawning on my soul, tell me the old, old story. Christ Jesus makes thee whole. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. I'll tell you the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, first unmeasured, boundless, free.
Thank Rebecca very much for coming tonight. Lovely pieces and tremendous words to those pieces that she's chosen. And we pray the Lord will bless them to your heart this evening. We're going to have some of our girls from the school and from our Young People's Fellowship, and they're going to come and give some instrumental, a couple of pieces on the instruments. That's four of our girls coming now, please.
Thank you.
to thank the girls for playing for us tonight, two Lydias, and Charity and Julianne, and they're really gifted, and I often think I wish I had gifts like that, but we appreciate them coming tonight and playing for us. Our brother Billy is here tonight as well. We do welcome brother Billy Stirrett, and Billy's going to come and minister to us, please, with his pieces.
In land or store I may be poor, my place unknown, my name obscure. Of this I have the witness sure. Oh, bless the Lord, I've Jesus. What though the world its gifts deny, I've riches more than gold can buy. The key to treasures in the sky, oh bless the Lord, I've Jesus. On life's rough sea, how frail my bark, but in the storm and denses dark, I have a safe and trusted ark. Oh, bless the Lord, 'tis Jesus. What though the world its gifts deny, I've riches more than gold can buy. The key to treasures in the sky, oh bless the Lord, I've Jesus. When shadows deep around me fall, and gloom and fear my soul enthrall, there is an arm beneath them all. Oh, bless the Lord, 'tis Jesus. What though the world its gifts deny, I've riches more than gold can buy. The key to treasures in the sky, oh bless the Lord, I've Jesus. Soon will this fleeting life be o'er. Oh, then upon the other shore, I'll be with him forevermore, forevermore with Jesus. What though the world its gifts deny, I've riches more than gold can buy. The key to treasures in the sky, oh bless the Lord, I've Jesus. traveling home to heaven by the straight and narrow way, which the saints and martyrs have before us trod. In the cross of Christ we glory as we journey day by day, pressing onward to the city of our God. We will talk it o'er together by and by, when we reach that holy city, you and I. How through faith we've overcome and have reached our heavenly home, we will talk it o'er together by and by. There's an hour which no man knoweth, nor the angels round the throne, when the Lord shall come in glory from the sky. All the saints shall rise to meet him, for he calleth for his own. They shall hear the trumpet calling by and by. We will talk it o'er together by and by, when we reach that holy city, you and I. How through faith we've overcome and have reached our heavenly home, we will talk it o'er together by and by. There with Moses and Elias, and with Peter and with Paul, we'll recount the triumphs of redeeming grace. Best of all, we'll see our Savior, hail and crown him Lord of all, and unite his praise to sing through endless days. We will talk it o'er together by and by, when we reach that holy city, you and I. How through faith we've overcome and have reached our heavenly home, we will talk it o'er together by and by.
Again, I want to thank Billy for coming tonight. And he's been here before many a time, and we've always enjoyed his ministry and song, and tremendous words to those pieces. I trust and pray that you have that assurance that we'll talk it over by and by on that eternal shore in that glory land, that land that is fur than day. We're staying a wee bit in Money Slain, for Sister Faith is coming now. Faith Roberts going to sing her pieces, please, for us. She's living over in that direction this time.
I am so glad that I found yet about the great tomorrow? Have you thought about your soul? If you never thought it over, spend a little time today.
Thank Faith for coming tonight. I think that's the first time I've ever heard her. Lovely pieces, and the Lord has given her a lovely gift of song. I pray again the Lord will bless those messages to your heart. But come now to the final one. Let's agree here, boys. We do thank the brethren for coming down from Ballymena tonight, and they're going to bring their pieces now, please.
Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Oh,
Say a word of thanks to Joseph and Stephen for coming tonight, and we enjoyed their ministry, and it's tremendous. As a personal favorite of my own, and I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed each one that's taken part tonight. We do thank God for those that have the gift of song, and they bring messages with meaning, so I always love to hear that, where there's messages brought with good words in it. We appreciate each one, the girls, and the fellows that have come as well, the men that have come, and we say thank you in the Lord's name. Can I thank each one for coming tonight to our praise service this Monday evening? And it's good to have you here in the house of the Lord. We welcome you, especially if you're visiting with us. It coincides with our 50th anniversary, of course, but also 3 years ago, at the end of November, we opened our new refurbished our church for the congregation. We had a debt then of 250,000 interest-free loans, and we were able to clear that off just last month in October. That's now a little bit more than a month ago. But we do thank the Lord for the sacrificial giving of his people and the congregation, and we take this opportunity to render our praise and our thanksgiving unto thee. So I can't really ask you for an offering tonight in that sense. But what I want just to bring to your attention, if you have come prepared, there's a box at the door, and if you want to, we're going to give a wee offering to the Newry Hospice, the hospice in Newry there, who looks after terminally ill people. And some of our own congregation, of course, have had to be in there and use the facilities in past days. And so if you want, you can give a little gift towards that, and we'll pass that on in its totality to the Newry Hospice. We're going to sing just a couple of three verses before our brother comes to bring his word. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice. It's number 308, just to change your position. We'll sing the first three verses only, page 301. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God.
Thank you.
And we welcome on your behalf to the Kingdom of Mourn tonight our moderator, the Reverend Thomas Murray, minister, of course, of our church in Cumber. I do welcome you, brother, very warmly to our congregation tonight. It's good to have you. You can appreciate that the Reverend Murray is very busy with various meetings up and down the province. And it's a pleasure on my behalf to welcome him tonight as he readily agreed to come and bring the closing word at our praise service. I trust the Lord will bless him as he brings God's word to us now.
Could we turn in our Bibles this evening to the prophecy of Habakkuk and to the chapter 3, Habakkuk and the chapter 3. While you're finding the place, do thank your minister for the invitation and for also the kind words of welcome. And could I say my heart has been warmed and blessed, and I'd like to thank all of those who have taken part playing and singing this evening. It's been a blessing to my soul. Could I also congratulate the congregation here, not only in the beautiful building, but also in being able to say that you're now out of debt. The only thing is, I would say to you, don't let that be known too far, because if they know you have no debt, there'll be people knocking at your door and saying, could you give us a loan to help us? But we do rejoice in what God has done for you here in this congregation. And we congratulate you also on this, your 50th anniversary. And as the Spirit of God fell on the 50th day, we trust that even in this, your 50th anniversary, that you will know the outpouring of the Spirit of God, and that you will see not only the saints of God built up, but many drawn savingly unto the Savior. This is a praise service, and thinking of that this evening, my thoughts were drawn to the little prophecy of Habakkuk, the chapter 3, and the verse 18. Habakkuk chapter 3 and the verse 18, the prophet said there, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Let's just bow together in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we rejoice this evening that we are in thy house, and we have much to praise thee for. We thank thee for thy hand upon this congregation and for blessing it in so many different ways. We thank you, Lord, that our hearts have been warmed this evening, as even we have heard the messages of praise as well. And Lord, as we turn to thy word, we recognize our need of thee. Pray, Lord, that thou wouldst give us words from thyself, and that thou wouldst teach us by thy Spirit. To that end, Lord, I ask thee for help. Give to me the words that thou would have us to say. And we pray that in all things that thou wouldst bring honor and glory to your own great name. For we pray in thy name and for thy honor. Amen. The prophecy of Habakkuk, the chapter 3, and that verse 18, the prophet said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. As we come into this prophecy, we find the prophet greatly burdened down. It mattered not where he looked, he saw only immorality, injustice, and iniquity. The rich were oppressing the poor. The nobles were riding roughshod over the constitution of the land. And the land was filled with strife and contention. Bribery was commonplace. Tiring of their rebellion, the Lord was drawing his protecting hand. He said that the Chaldeans would sweep in from the north. Operating a scorched earth policy, they would devour all that would come before them, leaving behind a trail of desolation. My, the father sending his son to gather figs, he would find none. Sending him into the vineyard to look for grapes, he would come home empty-handed. More than that, there would be no barley, and there would be no sheep in the fields, and there would be no cattle in the stalls. And of course, these things were the very basic ingredients of life itself. Seeing the economy collapsing, the nation heading for destruction, terror took hold of Habakkuk, his lips quivering so that he was unable to speak. A rottenness entered into his bones. Eating up his strength, he began to tremble. and falling down to the ground, terror filled his heart. He couldn't understand why God would allow these things to happen to his nation, why he would allow the Chaldeans to sweep in, bringing such havoc and destruction across the land. He couldn't understand what God was doing. And you know, as well as the good times in life, there are also the seeming bad times, times when everything seems to go wrong. Job tells us, man who is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And despite being a dutiful son, we find Joseph being sold into my slavery, being thrown into jail and being forgotten even by his friends. And you see, not only do good things happen to bad people, but bad or seemingly bad things happen to good people. Trouble will come along your path, whether you're righteous or unrighteous. You know, a preacher was preaching in a meeting like this, and looking down over the congregation, he asked all those who had troubles to stand up onto their feet. Everyone in the congregation stood up except one man. And the preacher, looking down at that gentleman, he said, "Sir, you are one amongst a million." And the man, looking up at the preacher, he said, "No, it's just that I broke both legs." And you see, my friend, if you're not coming from trouble in life, you will be going towards trouble. My, there are storms and afflictions that often come across our path. And there are those times, my, when we look and we wonder why. Why is God allowing these things to come? Why is he letting the storms blow so severely in my life? And so I want to draw your attention here tonight to the prophet as he asks that same question and as he faces these same difficulties. You notice firstly here that there was a pausing in the storm. In verses 3, 9, and 13, we have there the word Selah. It's a musical term simply meaning to stop and to think. Not understanding what God was doing, we find him three times my over pausing to think, not about himself, but rather to think about God. You notice here that there was a contemplating of his strength. When we go back to the first Selah, we read there in the verse 3 of the chapter, God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. Teman was a city in the land of Edom, or about 5 miles from Mount Seir. It was here in the days of Moses that the Lord came with 10,000 of his angels, resting upon the mountain in the midst of thunder and lightning. He gave to them his law. And considering the might and majesty of God, he then in verse 15 remembered how the Lord walking through the midst of the Red Sea in a pillar of cloud and fire swallowed on the Egyptian chariots. And not understanding what God was doing, we now find him stopping and pausing and considering, my, the power and the might of God. And in the days of trouble, rather than gazing upon your weakness, gaze upon his greatness. Contemplate his mighty power. Indeed, my Abraham growing old and beholding the weakness not only of his body, but of his wife's body, we read in Genesis 16 in the verse 3, and Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And instead of lifting his eyes and gazing upon the might of God, he gazing upon his own weakness and the weakness of his wife, my, he taking Hagar and sinning, he not only plunged his family, but he plunged his descendants into continual conflict. And you see, rather than contemplating our powerlessness, we, in the time of difficulty and storm, we need to lift up our eyes and we need to gaze upon His powerfulness, now to behold His might and His majesty. You know, Mary Slessor, at the age of 26, hearing of the death of David Livingstone, she immediately left for Africa. When she arrived there, she faced criticism and ridicule simply because she was a woman missionary. One day she was outlining her plans and her dreams for the future of the mission work in that part of the world. And one of the African chieftains, interrupting her, he said to her, "My, you're going to do all this. Why? You're only a woman." And Mary Slessor, turning to him, she said, "Yes, but you have forgotten this woman's God." And I think, do we not often make the same mistake in life? When the troubles come and the storms begin to blow and everything seems to be dark, we forget our God. We forget His power. We forget, my, that He is the omnipotent God. My, we forget that there is no person that He cannot save. There is no power that He cannot smite. There is no problem that He cannot solve. My, He is the God who not only made the heavens and earth and all that in them is, but, my, destroyed them. He is the God who reached down and saved the very chief of sinners. And believe it, when the storms begin to gather and everything seems to grow dark, just pause. Lift up your eyes and consider His power. See who He is, the omnipotent God. Not only was there here a contemplating of His strength, but there was also contemplating of His sovereignty. Looking beyond the gathering storms, He said in verse 18, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." In the Scriptures, there are many different names for God. The word Lord here being in capitals, it is in the original, the name Jehovah. It literally means I am that I am. Being always present or always the same, this title sets forth His immutability. And seeing change happening all around Him, the prophet now stops. And he considers the changelessness of his God. And you know, while our circumstances may change, our circumstances can never change the Lord. He is eternally the same. Indeed, the apostle, taking up his pen, he wrote in Hebrews chapter 13 and the verse 8, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." Of course, there were changes in the Lord Jesus Christ. At His incarnation, He took upon Himself flesh. He grew in stature and in wisdom. However, the apostle here was talking about His priesthood. He was reminding them that in their relationship with Him, He would never change. You see, God is where God always was. He is no less God and He is no more God than He was yesterday. The famous author, Lloyd C. Douglas, when he was a student, he lived in a boarding house. In the room beneath him was an elderly, retired music teacher. Every morning when he was going out to study, he would go down and he would knock the door of the retired gentleman. And knocking the door, he would shout out to the man, "What's the good news today?" And the retired gentleman, taking his tuning fork and tapping it on his wheelchair, he would say, "That's middle C. It was middle C yesterday. It will be middle C tomorrow. It will be middle C 1,000 years from now. The tenor upstairs sings flat. The piano across the hall is out of tune. But my friend, that is middle C." And my friend, it doesn't matter what happens tomorrow. My friend, God will always be God. He never changes in his character. He never changes in his nature. The God who loved you yesterday and loves you today will love you for all of eternity. My, his power, his person never changes. And when the storms come in and all goes black, my friend, remember that he who loved you yesterday has not changed. He's the eternal, unchanging God. Not only was there a contemplating of his sovereignty, but I think also there was a contemplating of his salvation. Seeing the enemy coming in as a flood, he said in verse 8, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." The word salvation there can be rendered deliverance or safety. And in using here the personal pronoun my, he was not here thinking about the nation's deliverance, but rather he was thinking about his own personal deliverance or his own soul salvation. And you see, in the times of difficulty, rather than meditating upon your sufferings, meditate upon your salvation. Consider what God has done for you. Indeed, the prophet, my lifting up his pen, he said in Isaiah 61 and in the verse 10, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garment of salvation." And lifting up his eyes, he gazed, he rejoiced in God's salvation. And you see, rather than gazing upon your fears, gaze upon your forgiveness. See what Christ has done for you. The great preacher George Matheson was born in Scotland in 1842. By the time he was 18 years of age, he was completely blind. After being engaged to the girl of his dreams for a short time, she decided that she didn't want to be engaged or married to a man who was blind. She didn't want, as she thought, that which would hinder her in her life. And as a consequence, she broke off the engagement. And the engagement broken off, George Matheson's heart was broken. He went into his home. He shut himself away. He sunk down into the very depths of despair. And as he lay there in the depths of despair, he took up his pen and he began to write, "O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths it flow, may richer, fuller be." And getting his eyes of a love that had been broken, he got his eyes up unto a love that could not be broken. And believer, when the storms come and things become dark, lift up your eyes, gaze upon your salvation. See what God has done, how he's changed your life. And more than that, contemplate that which he has prepared even for you. Oh, are things difficult? Is the clouds coming in around your life? Then, my friend, in that time, consider not what you've lost, but what you've gained. Look upon the Lord. Gaze upon him. But not only was there here a pausing in the storm, but I want you to notice, secondly, there was a praising in the storm. The name Habakkuk means to embrace or to cling, clinging to the Lord. He now resolved in the midst of the blackness to rejoice. Notice here the season that he would rejoice in. Looking my to the future, he said in verse 17, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields will yield no meat, the flock shall cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls." There was nothing here to lift his spirits.
No matter where he looked, all he could see was anarchy, riots, and immorality. Although the fields would be plowed, there would be no crops, and their sheep having no pasture, they would either starve to death or they would be slain by the wolf. Even the fig tree would not produce any fruit. And yet he said there in that verse 18 that he would rejoice. The word rejoice there means to jump for joy. And as if to emphasize that, he then adds the word joy, which means to spin around and around and around. And although the day was dark and everything seemed gloom, he said, I will rejoice. You see, as well as praising God in the good times, we are to praise the Lord in the bad times, to rejoice in the storms as well as the sunshine. Indeed, the Apostle Paul, taking up his pen, he said in Philippians 4, in the verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That little word always not only includes times of triumph, but it also includes times of tragedy. You see, we're not only to rejoice when we feel like rejoicing, but we are to rejoice even when we don't feel like rejoicing. In other words, we're not to be controlled by our feelings. You say, preacher, but there's those times in my life I don't feel like rejoicing. There's those times I don't feel like praising God. I don't know about you, but these dark mornings, the frost on the windows, and the wind howling outside, I don't feel like getting out of bed. But I want to tell you, my friend, I get out of my bed, I put on my clothes, and I go out the door, and I do the things that I need to do. And yes, there'll be times in life you don't feel like rejoicing. But what are you to do? You are to rejoice. You see, you may not always be able to rejoice in your situation, but you can always, always rejoice in your Savior. You can always rejoice in your salvation. And even when things are hard and things are difficult and you feel things are not going the way that you would like them to go, my friend, even then, stop to praise the Lord. It's great tonight to have an occasion like this, but sometimes there'll not seem to be occasions to praise. But my friend, in those times, praise God. That's faith. That's faith. Not only this season he would rejoice in, but notice the song he would rejoice with. Determined to rejoice, he said in verse 19, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instrument. Writing down these words, he then committed them to the chief, my singer, to put them to music. In fact, in verse 1, he described it as a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigonoth. The word Shigonoth means to sing it after a manner of song. And putting these words into music or into song, he then began to sing. You see, as well as studying the goodness of God, we're to be singing of the goodness of God. We should, as it were, put it into music to praise him. Indeed, urging the Ephesian believers to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul then said in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The word melody there means to pluck. In other words, he was saying, singing psalms and hymns, it would pluck, or it would stir their hearts. Singing of the Savior and of salvation is not only something that is summoned, it is something that stirs it. It stirs our souls, drawing us even closer unto the Lord. Don't we see the power of music even in there in the life of Saul? It was when David played the harp that the evil spirit was driven out and he was refreshed. You see, as well as praising the Lord in the storm, we ought to praise the Lord in song. We ought to lift up our voices and we ought to sing praises to His name. I can remember as a young lad, and my when we come in on a Sunday night, we'd go down to the good room, the fire would be lit, the hymn book would be taken out, and we would sit, and we would sit around the fire and sing the hymns of praise. And believer, we ought to sing praises unto God. It's good tonight to be here and to my sing praises unto His name. Take time to praise Him. Also, you notice here that not only the song He would rejoice with, but the Savior He would rejoice in. He said, verse 18, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." And in mentioning His salvation or His Savior, He was here, my counting His blessings. He was considering what God had done in the past. And you know, rather than counting our problems, we ought to count our blessings, to consider the things that God has done for us. The tennis star Arthur Ashe died of AIDS, contracted from a blood transfusion. And rather than becoming bitter with the circumstances that led to his illness and to his death, he being asked by an interviewer, he said, "If I asked why me about my troubles, I would have to ask why me about my blessings. Why my winning Wimbledon? Why my marrying a beautiful, gifted woman?" And so often, you know, we count our problems, we count our difficulties, but we forget to count our blessings. Oh, believer, how good God has been to us. Plucked us as a brand from the burning. Set our feet upon Christ, the solid rock. Given us His Spirit. Oh, count your blessings. My praise Him. Take time to give thanks unto Him for all that He has done. Not only was there a pausing in the storm and a praising in the storm, but lastly, I want you to notice there was a promise for the storm. Rejoicing, He knew now that he would receive strength from God. Look at verse 19. "The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds." Notice there, he didn't say, "God will give me strength," but he said, "God is my strength." Dwelling in him, he would give him sufficient strength to overcome every obstacle and every oppressor that would come his way. And you see, in Christ, there is not only my salvation, but there is strength, power for every situation. David said, "It is God that girdeth me with strength." The girdle being wrapped around the body, it strengthened the back. In other words, he said God would strengthen him, enabling him to carry the burdens that would come his way. You see, the Lord doesn't just send difficulty. He's our strength. And maybe, believer, as you look forward and you see the problems and the difficulties, perhaps there's fear in your heart. But He's your strength. He'll bind Himself around you. He'll enable you to carry those burdens, to overcome those difficulties, if only you walk with Him. Not only strength from God, there was swiftness. For God, he said, verse 19, "The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds." Though the hind was small, it was extremely agile. In the Song of Solomon, we find her skipping, over the mountains with great speed. In other words, he was saying here that he would go forth with the message that God had given him, and he would go with great speed. And you see, as well as delivering God's message accurately, we need to deliver it with alacrity, with speed. Don't we often sit in gospel meetings and we wonder to ourselves, why? Why does that person not come to the Lord? Why are they putting it off? And yet, my friend, how often when God speaks to us and God says to us, "I want you to go and to speak to an individual," don't we do the very same thing? We put it off. We say, not today, but tomorrow. Tomorrow's a better time. Tomorrow he'd be more accepting of the message. We put it off. Oh, how we need the feet of the hind. We need to go with great speed. There's also success from God because he said, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. The high places speak of the mountaintops. And you see, where there is a pausing before the Lord and a praising of the Lord, then we'll be able to climb the highest mountain. There'll be no barrier, no obstacle that we cannot overcome. Oh, no wonder the prophet here said, I will praise God. Oh, he looked out and there was trouble, there was famine, there was desolation. But then he looked up and he said, I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. And child of God, if we only look out there, if we only listen to the news and we look around society, we'll get cast down. But we need to get our eyes up. And if only we get our eyes up, then we'll be able to rejoice. We'll be able to joy in the God of our salvation and praise him. The hymn writer said, praise my soul, the King of heaven. To his feet thy tribute bring. What a God we have. My, it's good to be here tonight. And it's good to praise him. To praise him for his hand upon you as a congregation. For how he has provided the need. But let us believe, or even our own individual lives every day, take time to rejoice and to praise him. For every mercy and for every blessing that he bestows upon us. Amen.
Let's unite our hearts together, closing in prayer. We do thank God's servant for bringing that timely message and word to our souls tonight. We thank Mrs. Murray for coming with us, her husband tonight as well. My friend, I trust that you're praising the Lord. And you have that joy of God's salvation. If you haven't, you can meet with Christ even now. And it is our prayer that you would call upon the Lord in mercy to save your soul, repenting of your sin, accepting what Christ has done on Calvary's cross. And I tell you, you'll go home rejoicing, praising the Lord, the God of your salvation. Father and our God, we thank thee for thy presence this evening. We bless thee, Lord. It is good to sing praises unto our God. And oh, Father, we rejoice in the word that thou hast given to thy servant tonight. And Lord, we rejoice in the God of our salvation. We joy in thy presence this night. Oh, Father, we realize, Lord, there are many storms abroad. But Lord, we realize that when Christ is in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. And Lord, we pray through every trouble of life that our gaze would not be upon the trouble, but it would be upon our Savior. Lord, thou would lift our gaze heavenward. And oh, Father, others would know that we have been with Jesus and were washed in the blood. Speak, Lord, on when the preacher's voice is silent, especially to any that is without the Savior, traversing through this life on that broad road. Oh God, we pray they might come to know the everlasting God tonight, the one who changes not, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and bless God forever. We pray, Lord, they'll be able to look back to this night and be able to say it was then, it was there that God met with me and save me by his grace. Lord, part us now in thy blessing and in thy favor. Bring us to each one to our homes in safety. For we ask these things in our Savior's precious name and for God's eternal glory.